Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining at short notice. We're providing this update a little more than a month ahead of our financial results release for the first half of financial year 2025, really in the interest of making sure that the market's fully informed. I'll make a few comments and then open up for questions, and I will be available through the day if there are other conversations that you'd like to have. So a couple of comments. So firstly, as you've heard me say many times, we've got a portfolio of businesses in the group, and we've provided a sales update for each segment of our group. I won't go through them individually, but you can see a stable performance out of food and liquor. I do want you to note that Superior, in the last few weeks, has cycled a number of customer wins from last year. Please note also that the liquor sales to retail customers are to all customers and not just IBA. And then, of course, you'll note that the overall hardware sales are not materially different from those that we provided at AGM, but wholesale sales, which are primarily in DIY categories, do offset the weakness that we've experienced in trade volumes. And those trade categories are directly supplied from suppliers to our stores, so not included in our wholesale sales. We've been aware for some time, and we've talked about for a while now, the hardware and tools market not being at the optimal point in the cycle. And we've experienced continued and accelerating weakness in the trade market, and this has impacted IHG's trade sales from our retail network and, to a degree, also Total Tools. And you will recall me talking about this trend at the AGM a few weeks ago. The latest numbers that are coming through, which are the subject of our update today, continue to reflect that. I also want to point to some updates from public companies in the space, including James Hardie, Big River, and Reece as good examples, where they're reporting soft trade volumes and, in some cases, operating deleverage and resulting profit declines. We have been and are now accelerating action on costs in response, and I want to just share an example to give you an idea of the urgency. In the last 12 months, we've reduced total labor hours across IHG's retail business by more than 9% and more than 15% over the last 2 years. And I also want you to know that our cost programs are not isolated to hardware. You're aware that we've got efforts across the group to remove costs. I also want to state that we do believe strongly in the strategies, excuse me, the strategies and the market positions of these and all our businesses on a through-the-cycle basis. I've referenced our portfolio. I want you to remember that we have a wide range of business models as well, including wholesale and retail, as well, of course, as franchising and brand income. And it's pleasing that our core wholesale businesses continue to deliver steady, reliable performances. Retail performances, as I've said many times, more cyclical and does leverage up and down. This should not be the first time you're hearing this from me. So while it's obviously not great to deliver low earnings in retail, it really shouldn't be too much of a surprise given the market conditions. And of course, we'll continue to keep you updated. I'm now going to open it up for questions.
Thank you. As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star one one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. To withdraw your question, please press star one one again. Please stand by as we compile the Q&A roster. First question comes from the line of Michael Simotas from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. First question from me. Can we just confirm that it is only the IHG business that has deteriorated and has sort of required this update today? And the reason I ask is because if you look at the sales trends for food and liquor, and I'm wary about focusing on too short a period, but it looks like they deteriorated quite significantly in the last 6 weeks.
Hey, Michael. So yes, the deterioration that's required this update is primarily IHG. Yeah, all of our businesses are operating in the environment in the economy that we're all deeply familiar with. ISG is the one that's accelerated. You know, as I noted in my comments, Total Tools is exposed as well to the slowing in trade. So there is some impact there. Total Tools, you'll all remember, were also impacted by, you know, pricing pressures at the start of this half. But we've seen a normalization of that through the period, again, as I noted at the AGM. Food is down in the period around 0.5%, and really that's tracking in line in the main with inflation.
Okay. No, that's helpful. And then just the second one to understand the IHG issue a little bit better. So if you look at the sales trend, it's improved over the course of a half. You've given us some explanation on the mix between retail and wholesale. Is there any colour you can give us on the trends in trade versus DIY, and has there been any change in product gross margin, or is it just mix?
Yeah, thanks for the question. Happy to give you a bit more colour. The couple of points. The first is that you know, DIY is pretty steady in the retail business. No material change in trends. The second is that, as I've said, and really the subject of today's call, is that the trade sales of trade categories from our retail business were and continue to be depressed, and that slowdown has accelerated. And from a margin perspective, we are starting to feel some gross margin pressure in trade as the market broadly feels that slowdown. I think it's entirely normal. What's pleasing, you know, we pay close attention to whether we're losing or gaining customers. And while I don't have a formal market read on a month-by-month basis, you know, indications are that we're holding on to the customers that we have and trading smartly with them. You don't want to be obstinate in your trading and holding price at the detriment of sales. So I think we're in control. We're trading well, but yes, there has been some margin compression. It's not massive, and it's not of over concern to me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Just a moment for our next question, please. Next, we have David Errington from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Morning, Doug. Yeah, look, it is a worry, this housing market at the moment. I mean, as I said, you're not the only one that's suffering at this point in time. I'm just trying to delve a little bit more deeper into it and what your customers are telling you and what sort of time frame can we expect to come through this. If you could give us a bit of that, that would be really appreciated, because I'm just worried as to how deep this cycle could go down before we turn around. Now, I know that's probably, you're trying to ask the same questions yourself, but if you could have a bit of a go, what are the areas that you're finding this happening most in? Is it the start of the house? Is it the end of the house? Is it the renovation market? If you can give us a little bit more colour as to what your customers are telling you and when they expect to come out of this, that would, I know it's a tough question, but if you could give us a bit of colour on that, that'd be really appreciated.
Yeah, no problem. I'm obviously not in a position to speculate, but you're right, it is a tough question. Our customers are telling us, and when I say customers, remember, I talk to our store owners and to their customers, who are also the customers in our retail business. But they're broadly telling us that that the activity has decreased across all parts of the home build. In some instances, homes that were under construction are now completing, and the pipeline isn't being restocked through approvals and then starts. Now, that's obvious, so you probably don't need me to tell you that. But we're seeing it on the ground. You know, just in the last 24 hours, I've spoken to a number of our customers and experienced customers. One of them told me just this morning that in his 40 years of being in this industry, this is the fastest slowdown he's ever experienced. And he is saying that his customers are reporting the same thing. Now, he was a Victorian-based retailer, and certainly Victoria is the worst. There are pockets of the country that are still in growth and that are doing okay, and those areas would be within Queensland and WA, but New South Wales and South Australia are also very weak. So I'm sorry, I can't tell you when I think it will revert, you know, it's going to require consumer confidence. You know, we know the drivers of those are interest rates, inflation. On the demand side, you know, we've had lots of talk about government intervention and stimulus. We know that immigration is an important driver, and we watch closely all of those things, and you should as well. As well as approvals.
Yeah, I suppose what you're telling us, just to, before I get on the second question, what you're actually telling us is that the run rate is getting worse. The momentum is getting worse at this current point in time. It's decelerating, but at an accelerating speed. That's pretty much what you're telling us. Is that correct?
Well, that's exactly what I'm telling you. That's why I'm doing this call. And I would imagine you all, your first question was, well, what's changed since you last updated us? And that's exactly it.
Yeah. So and the second question, if you could give us a little bit of sugar, because all of us are obviously trying to work out our numbers. But the reality is that everything that you're saying, in summary, you're on track in food, you're on track in liquor. So everything's pretty much, there's no real change there. But what you're basically saying is that the hardware side, that market has got worse. It's the cyclical part of your business. You're more exposed into retail now than what you were, so that makes it even more cyclical. So where we need to sharpen our pencils is in that hardware. Is that basically the summary of what you're trying to tell us today?
Yeah, I'm hoping that I'm explicit about that. I want to say what I said to Michael as well, which is, in food and liquor, we're in the same market that all of our competitors are. You know, there are parts of our customers groups that are doing it tough, and so we're tracking along, as you can see in the sales numbers, very much in line with the market, but you shouldn't expect our performance there.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Doug.
Thank you. Just a moment for our next question, please. Next question comes from the line of Bryan Raymond from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Just wanting to get a bit more colour around the magnitude of organic earnings decline in IHG. If we're putting aside some of the new acquisitions, obviously, that are still annualising in and Total Tools, what is it possible to give us a feel for the magnitude of underlying earnings decline in IHG that you're seeing at the moment?
Yeah, right. I mean, I'm obviously not going to get into the detail of individual pillar performance. You know, we haven't even finalized our year end, our half year end, and so, you know, you'll need to wait for December for that detail. But it's significant in the retail part of our business. I'm afraid I'm going to have to leave it at that.
Right. Are the new acquisitions, the acquisitions on the trade side that you've made this year, are they sort of wrapped up in a similar condition? Should we be building in some of the same sort of pressures into the Frame and Trust side, and so the Alpine and Bianco?
Yeah, generally Frame and Truss activity is affected and suffering the same trends, if you like. But our acquisitions are performing as we would have expected them to perform in this market. So yes, of course they're affected, but not worse.
Okay, great. And then just my second one is just on the competitive environment. So there's obviously reduced activity and demand levels, which are pretty well talked about across the market. How is the competitive environment at the moment? Obviously, you've got some major competitors and a lot of independent competitors. Are you seeing, heavy discounting or more, low-margin sales come through? Is there any irrational behavior is what I'm trying to get at in the market in response to this weak demand in order to try to gain share to offset some of that pressure? Thanks.
I'm going to answer the question in trade because I think that's where you're asking it. And
yes, that's correct.
The answer is yes, we are seeing, and I think I said that in response to someone's question earlier. We are seeing margin pressure because our competitors are sharpening their pencils on pricing. But I would say that we're not seeing any irrational behavior. I mean, I think it's entirely rational to look to hold on to your customers by increasing discounts to them, but I would not describe it as irrational.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Adrian Lemme from Citi. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Doug. I just had a question on the earnings seasonality this year. Seems like the market's got sort of higher earnings in the second half, and you've noted the slower momentum in hardware. Can I just double check with the timing of all the acquisitions? Are they fully contributing this half, or is there more of a contribution in the second half, please?
Adrian, is your question in hardware specifically?
Well, I guess you've got that and you had Superior Foods. I just wanted to understand that, the market seems to have much higher earnings in the second half. So I'm just trying to understand whether we should annualize this first half or if there's other factors at play, please.
I'll give you some direction, what I hope are directionally helpful comments. So firstly, Superior is in this year for 11 months. It came in from June. Bianco and Alpine came in right at the end of last year, so they'll be in for 12 months. There were a few smaller acquisitions in the IHG business last year that will roll over and annualize. But there isn't a major acquisition that is going to either annualize or come in the second half.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thanks for clarifying that. Good luck with trading. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from a line of Tom Kierath from Barrenjoey. Please go ahead.
Morning, Doug and team. Just one on the costs. Just be interested in, I don't know if you can quantify how much costs you've taken out in the half. Probably can't, but just talk about when you started kind of going a bit harder on the cost base and how we should think about that kind of annualising into the second half, whether there'll be kind of more cost out, just given the timing of those cost initiatives, please.
Yeah, sure. Hey, Tom. So you'll recall in the second half of 24 in IHG, the cost out initiatives that had been started 6 to 12 months before that really started to manifest and I think we spoke, the language I used at the time was offset the inflationary and regulatory cost pressures in that half. And actually, remember, we had a better second half of H2. And so those cost out programs, the benefits of that continues and will essentially be in for the full year. The reason that I talked about a 12-month and a 24-month data points on labor hours was because I want to point to the fact that this is not a knee-jerk, panicked reaction. It's been something that, frankly, any good retailer would be doing is taking out costs in line with both current levels of sales and anticipated. And so, those are structurally in our business already. It's definitely true that in the last 24 months in our hardware business, we've really tightened the screws on discretionary costs. And again, that was not a new program. But But on the other side of it is inflation in costs is dislocated, if you like, from inflation in product. So when we talk about product inflation, that's been coming down, as we all know. But I think we also all know that across the country, inflation in cost has remained higher, and so we're certainly feeling the effect of that. And so that inflation was slightly slower than our cost out. And, you know, that inflation manifests through labor, rent, where you've got leases that are CPI-linked and that they reset in the last couple of years. And, of course, on particularly in Victoria, you know, regulatory increases relating to payroll taxes and land taxes. And so you've got a little bit of a timing difference between products and costs, but then within cost out and cost increases. So in summary, you know, what I want you to hear is we've been on a journey for a long time, but you do get to a point at leverage where you just are unable to continue to take costs out at the rate that your sales are declining. And, you know, that's a function of the structure. The last point I want to make is that we are mindful of the strong position we have in this business. And you don't want to get to the point where your cost out efforts actually become self-fulfilling from a sales slowdown perspective. Particularly in trade, it is an assisted sale. And that means that you need someone and someone knowledgeable to assist the customer, whether it's on the phone, on site, or in the store, or in the trade yard. And so we have to be careful that we don't damage our business for the long term.
Yep, got it. That's really clear. Thanks, Doug.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Craig Woolford from MST Marquee. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Doug. Quite a different question, I guess. What's your timeline on appointment of CEO for the hardware business, and how do you think about that given some of the conditions that you've just been through?
Yeah, hey, Craig. The timeline is imminent. It'll be soon that we'll finalise that.
Okay.
And I think about it as you would expect. I'm very keen that that we get a permanent leader into the business as quickly as possible.
Absolutely. And then on the food business, the tobacco declines in sales, if anything, have accelerated a little bit, and that's what we can see from other operators and some of the industry feedback. Is that hitting a point where it's, you know, having a more of a margin impact on the business? How do you manage and contain the headwind that is the drop in tobacco given illicit?
Yeah, Craig, I mean, I probably don't have a new message for you on that one. So, you know, it hasn't had a, if I use your phrase, you know, it hasn't hit a point that it is fundamentally any different to what it's been in the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that it's declined. You know, we've got double-digit declines on top of double-digit declines. It hasn't leveled out, has it, as a headwind?
No, it hasn't. I mean, you know, the government needs to get on top of this urgently. So it hasn't, yeah, but there's nothing I can say now that you haven't heard from me before. So, you know, I won't waste my breath or your time.
Okay. Thanks, Doug.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Philip Kimber from EMP Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Doug. Just a couple of ones for me. I just wanted to check. I think you were sort of saying the acquisitions are trading as expected given the current environment. So, you know, should we assume, I think you gave some historical numbers, and I'm really talking Alpine and Bianca here. Are they, you know, should we assume that those historical earnings that you gave would be under pressure given the environment? Is that sort of what you're saying when you're saying they're trading as expected given the current environment?
Yeah, that's exactly right. They operate in the same environment. I mean, you've got to remember that for example, Alpine is it's a single site, and it's in Victoria, and it's trading as you would expect in that market. Alpine is in South Australia, and it's a 10 site operation with a much broader business. The reason I use that language, Phil, is because we have not been surprised by their performance in these markets, and that's a good thing. I think I said this at the time during Q&A in February, we valued them as such. Yeah, I always try and be very transparent with you guys, and so I don't mind saying this slowdown is faster than we anticipated. But we knew that the market was at the bottom half of the cycle, and we anticipated that. That's the best I can give you.
Okay, thank you. And then the second one was really just, in this environment, is there anything abnormal that you're needing to do with support of your trade customers, in terms of on extending terms or anything like that, or is there anything to call out there?
No, not really. I mean, we work closely with those customers. If they're trade customers of ours in our retail stores, in making sure that we manage the book very carefully. We've spoken in the past about insurance, but we don't want to have to rely on that. And in respect to our retailer customers, we work closely with them as well in making sure that their inventory levels are not out of line, and that they continue to manage good businesses. And the culture of IHG, if you like, the operating model is that we've got independent retailers, we've got JV partners, and we've got 100% owned stores. And actually, when we engage with each of them, GMs in the case of our own stores, we really treat them much the same. And we have a very open and transparent relationship with them. And they will talk to us about pressures that they're feeling. And, but we're not having to extend abnormal levels of credit to them. They are managing.
That's great. Thanks, Doug.
Thank you. Next, we have Shaun Cousins from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Apologies if this question's been asked. I've got onto the call late. But can you just talk a bit about the difference between the food ex tobacco of 18.5 and 9.8, why it's such a big difference relative to supermarkets, which is a little narrower, please?
Sorry, Sean, can you just say that again? I'm not sure I'm following the question.
Yeah, sure.
You're asking me why there's such a big difference.
Yeah, so your total sales are up 18.5% and they're up 9.8% including tobacco, conscious that that's a Superior Foods acquisition issue. But what's driving such a wide gap there in terms of the gap in your supermarket convenience business is quite a bit smaller? I'm just curious around why there's such a wide dispersion.
Sean, it's because, I think this is the answer, if I'm understanding your question, it's because the 9.8 includes Superior.
Okay, maybe, sorry, does Superior sell any tobacco?
No.
Okay, all right, I might take that offline. And then secondly, total tools.
Sorry, I was going to say, if I haven't understood or answered the question, happy to pick it up offline with you.
Yeah. Great, thank you. And then my second question is around Total Tools. Just, and again, apologies if this has been asked. Why are comps so weak? And where are you at in the broader, one of the boosts to your reported revenue has been converting franchise stores to corporate. Is that slowing at the moment? Can you maybe address those two issues, please, on Total Tools?
Yeah, sure. So comp sales are weak because there's been some product deflation, and that's really driven by, slowing inflation, which is driven by a competitive market. Yes, to your second question, I think you've seen that in the last couple of updates. There is definitely a slowing of conversions. We give you pretty good visibility, I think, to that, and we'll continue to update you every time. but we're at circa, give or take, 50% of the revenue in JV stores of the total network revenue. And you know, we expect it'll settle around that, and that's not guidance because it will go up and down sort of opportunistically. We're happy to open franchisee stores and JV stores as the opportunities present themselves.
Okay. Fantastic. Thanks, Doug.
Thank you.
Thank you. I see no further questions at this time. I will now hand the call back to Doug.
Thanks, operator. And again, I'd just like to thank everybody for making time for the call at short notice. We're available through the day to answer any specific questions. And all that remains for me is to wish you a happy Friday. Thank you.